Coming up, we're going to look at a mock phone, a couple of weird-looking speakers, the latest Fitbit, a new Google TV, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Wii U. It's next. You got to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter Before You Buy.
Welcome to Before You Buy, TWiT's product review show, where we get the greatest products in and sometimes the not-so-great products in and have our TWiT staff review them. I'm Leo Laporte. Coming up in a little bit, I'm going to review a new Google TV. A lot of interest for the $99 Vizio CoStar. I'll give you my impressions. But first, let's say hello to Tony Wang, our editor-in-chief here at the TWiT Brick House. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
We always give you interesting devices. Usually, actually, the Android stuff goes to Jason Howe. Yeah. How'd you snag an Android phone?
He didn't have time to review it, so I got it.
All right. And its name is not the most felicitous.
Yeah, LG Mach.
It's not a Mach phone. It's M-A-C-H.
Like, yeah, M-A-C-H, yes.
Well, let's take a look at your review.
I'm Tony Wayne for Twit.tv and Before You Buy, and today I'm here with the LG Mach 4G LTE for Sprint. So here we have the LG Mach, and as you can see, it has a physical QWERTY keyboard, and that is the major selling point of this phone. And let's take a look at the specs. We are running Android 4.0, not the latest release of Android, obviously. And that might or might not be an issue, since LG does have their own Optimus skin running on top of Android. So you're not actually getting the pure Android experience. But overall, the widgets and how everything works in the menus and everything, it actually... it's quite impressive. This is the second LG phone I've used, and the other one is the Nexus 4, which we will see in a future review. Other hardware specs, you have a removable battery coming at 1700 mAh, which is pretty decent. You get pretty good battery life, just like most other Android phones out there. And you also have your micro SD card slot, and the phone is running a dual core 1.2 gigahertz processor, and it's got a gig of RAM, and storage wise a little short. You're only coming in at 8 gigabytes, but with expandable memory slot you should be fine there. Form factor, I don't think you can make the phone any thinner without compromising it, because I do notice I could hear the phone rubbing against the keyboard when I'm sliding. So that tells you how little space there are between the two pieces. So you can't really go any thinner than this. The keyboard is very responsive, very well spaced out, lots of separation, and you have your dedicated number key on top. And you got your function here, and your some shortcut here like the .com key, and pretty much everything you need. You got enter and also the directional pad here, which is kind of nice if you want to keep your hand off the display while you're using the phone. Battery life is great. It lasts me about a full working day with all emailing on the phone, because you have a pretty small display, a 4-inch WVGA display at 480 by 800. So it is not the highest resolution display out there, but for emailing, it's actually pretty good. As you can see, the phone is very snappy with a dual core processor, and I did not experience any slowdown, except when I'm not in a very good reception area where I'm actually running 3G or slower, and that was actually most of the problem I have with the phone, is coverage. One surprising thing about the phone that I noticed was that the camera is actually way better than expected. It's running a 5-megapixel autofocus camera with a dedicated camera button. Unfortunately, the camera button only works when the phone is already on or awake. So unlike a Windows phone, you can't wake the phone up with a camera button. So pros of the phone, it is a very well-built phone. There is nothing loose about the sliding mechanism. There is a faux-looking plastic back, and I'm not a fan of how it looks. It looks like it's metal, but it's not. So I wish they would just gone with either a plain-looking plastic or just spend a little bit more money and go with a real metal back. The 5-megapixel camera is actually quite impressive. It's very responsive when it comes to shutter lag, so there isn't much shutter lag with the camera at all. And the audio cue that triggers the shutter is actually quite fun to play with. You know, you can say cheese, whiskey, kimchi, and other words.
What rhymes with kimchi?
So con of the phone, one of the con for me, which is not for everybody, is that it's missing a home button. I have used other QWERTY sliders that have a dedicated home key, so when you're down here, you can actually go back to your home page. But you can, you know, just press the home button here. And another weird, really odd con is that this phone doesn't have a light sensor. For most of us, we're always adjusting the brightness on our phone, trying to get by a full day, but you don't really have to worry about that too much with this phone. I can get by just fine with the brightness set at around 40%. Buy, try, or don't buy, I would have to say it is a buy. There isn't that many choices on Sprint for a physical keyboard phone, so if that's what you need, this is the phone for you. I'm Tony for Twit.tv, and before you buy, and this is the LG Mach 4G LTE.
I appreciate you're giving it a buy, but of course it's a qualified buy if you need a physical keyboard.
Exactly. It's probably your only choice on Sprint.
Yeah. Right, I mean, I can't believe it doesn't have a ambient light sensor.
Yeah, that's just so such a weird thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The best keyboard we've seen, I think, is on that Relay, but it's not available on – it's a Galaxy Relay. It's only available, I think, on Verizon?
Verizon or T-Mobile?
T-Mobile. Yeah. Only. Well, it's even more limiting.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony.
Sure.
Tony Wang, our editor in – Chief, we've got a review of the Wii U coming up in just a bit, but before we do, Greg Burnett, who's not here because good boy Greg, he's in school right now. His brother Brian runs our is our technical director. What is Greg studying, Brian? He says, I don't know. Anthropology. Well, that makes him uniquely qualified to review these speakers. Greg?
Hi, I'm Greg Burnett with Twit.tv, and Before You Buy, and this is the Edifier Exclaim E10 multimedia speaker. All right, so with the Exclaim here, they definitely did not go subtle with the exclamation point imagery. We have the subwoofer built in. It's in the base, this circular base right here. And then up here is three treble speakers, and on the side is a up and down on the volume and a power button. As far as inputs, it's pretty standard. There's your normal 3.5 millimeter jack, and the volume and power buttons are located here on the sides. These speakers are your standard desktop speakers. As far as my experience with these speakers, I tried them on everything. I plugged them into my TV. I used them as just a room stereo with my phone, playing music. I use them on my computer, playing video games. And as far as I can tell, it is a really good speaker, except if you're really into heavy bass. There's a lot of distortion when you start to listen to heavy bass music with the volume turned all the way up. Another thing about these speakers is that they don't exactly have room-filling volume. When I was playing music, and across the room from them, it gets a little bit hard to hear them, even at max volume. But when these things are sitting right next to your monitor on your desk, they have great volume. And as far as my experience with them, just using them as computer speakers, which I feel like they, even though they're multimedia speakers and they can be used for a lot of different things, these things are best used as computer speakers, obviously. So for the pros and cons for these speakers, I'd say the pros are definitely good high to mid-range volume, very eye-catching design, and also the price point on these is really the most attractive part about these speakers. As for my cons, if you're using these for not necessarily your computer, but as just speakers for your room, there's no remote control for these speakers, so that might upset some people, but for most, they'll probably be using this as a computer desktop speaker, and that wouldn't be an issue. I also wish that instead of buttons, it had a knob, easier to precisely tune the speakers to the volume you'd like with a knob rather than buttons. And the only other thing would be the fact that it does not do deep bass well. So for buy, try, or don't buy, I'm going to give these a buy, because for under $100, you're not going to find better sound quality in such an eye-catching design. I'm Greg Burnett with Before You Buy, and these are the Edifier Exclaim E10 multimedia speakers.
The Edifier. Doesn't it sound like a Stallone character, like, you know, Judge Dredd, the Edifier? All right. Thank you, Greg Burnett. Greg is a student of anthropology and speaker design. Hey, Tom Merritt was up here just the other day. We handed him off something that he really wanted. He must have begged to review this. Yeah. The Wii U. Let's take a look at his review.
Hey, we are taking a look at the Nintendo Wii U, now with TV functionality, which just launched here in North America. The Nintendo Wii U essentially is the Wii with a little bit resolution and this cool, if you think it's cool, tablet-y sort of interface. That's the main attraction. Otherwise, I have to be honest, it feels like just kind of a bigger Nintendo Wii. The resolution is better. The games do look better. It's still not high quality. This is going to get blown away by new Xboxes and new PlayStations when they come out. But it's got that Nintendo casual gaming feel. You can still use the nunchuck. You can still use the motion control. The problem is, when you buy a Wii U, all you get is the new controller. So they're assuming either you already had a Wii and you're going to keep the controllers from that, or you're going to have to buy extra controllers. Also, if you get the base model of the Wii U, it doesn't come with games. If you get the deluxe model, it comes in black, and you get the Nintendo Land game. And there's a limited number of titles out now. This is going to be great for people who love Link, who love Mario, who love those franchises. And people who already have a Wii probably don't need to upgrade this. I have found when I'm using this tablet that I feel like I'm using the tablet more than I'm using that. A lot of the things that happen, especially if you're playing solo, happen down here on the tablet. In fact, you can even do things when the TV is on something else. This tablet does have a pretty good interface, though. It comes with a stylus. You don't have to use it. You can use your fingers. You're probably going to lose it, but it is a little easier. And it has all of these icons. Now, obviously, you've got the Nintendo Land icon up here. That's for playing your games. You can also download games, and then those games icons will show up down here. But if you notice, you have Hulu Plus. You have Netflix. You have YouTube. You can launch lots of video services, and that's where TV comes in. TV with VII is Nintendo's television service that they're trying to manage all of your television watching, including your cable service. So let's go into TV, which is this red icon down here, and it will launch the Nintendo TV interface. You will then get the clunkiness of Nintendo TV. The promise is that you can search across Netflix, you can search across Hulu, you can search across your cable to see what's playing. But you have to actually get your television to change to the right input. This is going to work as your remote for everything. This is really nice. They've got favorites, television, movies, sports, and search. So I'm going to go in and say, oh, you know what? I want to see what kind of movies are on right now. They'll have some featured movies, they'll have some live movies, and they'll have some recommended movies. So let's see what's playing live right now on my television. If you notice, over there it just says Nintendo TV. It hasn't shown me any movies yet. We'll get to that in a second. Ah, The King's Speech is live right now. Love that movie. Oh, Aliens is live. Okay, even better. Let's click on Aliens, and it gives me a little review of Aliens. I know what Aliens is. Pretty obvious. I need to press play. So I'll hit that play button. Now, this is what's cool about the TV. It shows me I can rent it from Amazon, I can get it from Cinemax at these later times, or I can watch it right now. So I'm going to click watch it now. Every time you click to watch something now, it will ask you this question, whether your TV is on or not. Is the TV input set to your cable box? No, change the input. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to have to keep hitting that to change the input to the correct input for my television. This is really clunky. I mean, this is not the way this should work. It should be a repeater. It should have an infrared repeater or something like that. Okay, but I know what I'm doing, so I get around to selecting that, and then I say yes. Okay, because it doesn't go away. I still have to tell it, okay, now it's available. So you see it automatically turned my television to the wrong channel, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it went to channel 20 instead of the right channel. So now I'm going to have to go back, and I'm going to have to press it again. I'm going to have to say, no, go live. Yes, and it masks me that every time. There we go. I can see it's going to the right channel. Guess what? I don't subscribe to that channel. It only gives you three options when you set it up for what television package you have. And there's more than three packages that you can subscribe to. So I either have to pick 36 channels, which is like only the local channels, or the second package, which is all the movie channels and all the broadcast channels, or this third package, which is like all the sports channels and everything in the world. So I run into this all the time. It tells me something is live that I can't get. So unless I just notice that, oh, right, that's on Cinemax, I don't get it, I'm going to have to be running into this all the time. Now let's try the King's Speech. We saw that one was live. And if I press play on the King's Speech, that one is on a channel I get. So let's show it actually working. The TV, every time you play something, it's going to ask you that. Really annoying. But once it works, and it goes over, and it gives me the actual show. Now, the other thing is TV tagging. It's a feature that allows you to follow along with the show you're watching on the gamepad. So sporting events, television shows, that sort of thing. Pretty much everything I've tried has given me this message. TV tagging not available on this particular thing. It's probably going to take a while for them to roll out that for a wide number of things. If I was watching sports more often, I'd probably run into it more often. Going back to the main menu here, you can do favorites and you can do search. Sports is interesting. You can tell it your favorite NFL, NCAA, and NBA teams. But that's it. No Major League Baseball, no Major League Soccer. Doesn't have all the sports. No NHL, not that they're playing right now as we record this. So that is a look at TV. Now, because you have that TV integration, you also have a TV button here that gives you a remote, which can be kind of handy. You can use that if you're watching television and playing a game on the gamepad. You can hit the volume, turn off the TV, turn on the TV. Fairly nice. Overall, I find the Wii U frustrating. It pretends to do a lot of things very well, but then when you try them, they just don't work nearly as well as they should. For instance, every time I launch something like YouTube, for instance, it gives me an update. They're constantly updating their software. So overall, buy or not buy, the Nintendo Wii U is probably a buy for people who must have the latest Zelda game, who must have the latest Mario game, because this is going to be the only way to get it. The Wii U versions are the only versions they're going to put out for the latest stuff. Otherwise, save your money. If you've got a Nintendo Wii, you're really not going to see that much difference here. And if you're not interested in those games, the other consoles are probably still better. I'm going to say, don't buy. That's a look at the Nintendo Wii U. For Twits Before You Buy, I'm Tom Merritt.
Wow. So that is kind of stunningly bad, isn't it? I'll tell you what, we are going to do a second review of this because you noticed we didn't cover gaming very much. That was a new feature that Nintendo had just updated, the TV watching feature. Boy, that's a non-starter. So maybe it's a great gaming box. It ought to be with its heritage as a Nintendo Wii. So we'll do a second review of the Nintendo Wii U. I think Liz has volunteered to do that. Maybe we can get Liz and Snubs playing Zelda. And we'll give you a review on its gaming capabilities. But, boy, not impressed with the television capabilities at all. Coming up, a Fitbit review. We're going to take a look at another device that connects your TV to the internet, the latest Google TV from Vizio. But first, a word from our friends at Stamps.com. You do a lot of mailing, you need Stamps.com. It's a pro tip for anybody who does mailing for business, whether it's or maybe you're an Etsy seller, an eBay or Amazon or PayPal seller. Maybe you you send out mailings or bills or invoices. You got to get stamps.com. If you're still going to the post office to buy stamps or heaven forfend to charge up your postage meter, that's nuts. You don't need that stuff. You just need stamps.com. You can print all the postage you need right from your computer with your printer. No special inks, no postage meter needed. Just stamps.com. You even get deals you can't get at the post office, like 21% discounts on express mail, up to 15% on priority mail. If you do international mailing, it'll fill out the forms for you. If you're using a website like Amazon or eBay or PayPal, you know, to sell stuff, it'll take the data for your recipient right from the website, fill it in, print it right on the mailing label. You even can print right on the envelope, so your return address, the recipient's address, your company logo, and your postage all get printed all at once by Stamps.com. It really is a professional way to get your mailing done. And it keeps you out of the post office. And I gotta say, I love that. By the way, no matter what size package or letter you're mailing, you still don't have to go to the post office. The postal carrier will come pick it up. You can even schedule free pickups. So you really can do everything you need to do right at your desk. Oh, and by the way, we've got a special deal that gives you this. Sorry, I took it right out of the shot. That gives you this great Stamps.com aluminum scale. Here's the deal. Go to Stamps.com right now. You'll see an $80 trial offer right on the front there. Don't do that, though. Click that radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter our offer code before you buy. Thank you very much, Greg. I mean, Brian. Greg's in school right now. And you will get a $110 bonus offer, including $55 in free postage to use over the first few months of your membership. A digital scale, this beautiful digital scale. It's USB. It plugs right in. Plop the letter on there, and it knows exactly how much postage to put on it. You also get a supply kit and a month free of Stamps.com. Stamps.com. Click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our offer code before you buy. You are really going to love it. We thank Stamps.com for their support of Before You Buy, and we thank you for giving it a try. Let me get up here because I want to go over and say hi to Shannon Morse, the producer of our show. Snubs, they call her. Hi, Snubs.
Hi.
Now, I understand you're a Zelda fan.
Oh, just a little bit.
So if we get a Wii U and we play Zelda, is Zelda out for the Wii U?
I don't think so.
So when is Zelda comes out?
I have been playing Skyward Sword on the Wii at home.
Do you? Like that?
Oh, yeah. You have to raise it up in the air to get it powered up, and then you do the spin attack. It's so much fun.
That's the thing I like the best about the Wii, is the fact that you actually get off your butt to play a game.
You actually
move around.
Do it.
Yeah.
I could actually get off my butt and make steps when I'm playing my Wii.
Would this count? So you're going to show us the new Fitbit.
Yes.
Would it measure? I guess it would.
Well, I guess it would if you were doing, like, the
you
jumping jacks
like
and dancing around. Maybe to one of those karaoke songs.
We've shown the Fitbit before. I had the original Fitbit. Mm-hmm. I even showed you the little Fitbit.
Yes, the little Zip.
The Zip. This is the, what is this called?
This is the Fitbit One. It's basically the predecessor to the original Fitbit.
Okay.
And this one
is... The predecessor or successor? It comes after.
Successor.
Okay.
Yes.
You mean this is older than my Fitbit? Okay.
I'm a little sick and congested.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've been taking cold medicine.
CES crud. So one thing I do like, and they did this with the Zip, is it has a nice rubber holder that will...
Yes, it does.
Because I kept losing. I've had four Fitbits. Lost one in Paris. Lost one in San Diego at the zoo. Lost one in my toilet and one in my washing machine.
Oh, no.
So...
Well, I walked around
CES. At least I know where they are.
I walked everywhere with this thing when I went to CES last week, and I didn't have any problems with it.
Show us how many steps you took at CES. This I got to see.
Okay. So if I log on here.
It ties into your phone.
It does. So there's a Fitbit app that you can use to track everything.
And it does that by Bluetooth, or do you have to connect it?
It'll sync with Bluetooth Smart.
Okay.
Okay, so I currently have it in airplane mode, so I won't interrupt anybody.
Any calls.
But I can go through here. This is my Saturday, for example.
So you took 2,918 steps out of the 10,000.
Yeah, that was Saturday. That was after I got home. But if I go back, 10,000 steps.
That was a good day.
Friday, Thursday, 14,000. Now wait till the beginning of the week. That's when I first got there, when I was working really hard.
20,000 steps.
20,000 steps.
Do you find this is fairly accurate?
It is, yes. I noticed, I actually took this out of my pocket, and I was walking around the airport with it, tracking how many steps it was saying I was and counting them on my finger, and it was very accurate, so I was really happy with that. And it also comes with all these different little accessories in the box when you first get it.
Yeah, so far we've used it basically as a pedometer.
Exactly.
But you can also put it in your wrist strap here.
Yes, yeah, so this the neat thing about the Fitbit One, it also tracks your sleep. So it can tell you how many times you wake up, how many times you move around, if you've gotten up and taken steps to the bathroom, for example.
I'm going to put on the bracelet, and then where do you put the Fitbit in that slot there?
You take this, and you stick it right in here, and it has this little mesh.
It's a little easier than the original one, I have to say.
And it has this mesh on here, so you can actually see what's going on the inside of there.
And do I have to put it in sleep mode?
You can, yeah. All you have to do is hold down on the button, and it starts a sleep mode, and it'll track how many minutes, how many hours you are actually asleep.
And that will also sync to the phone.
Yes, it will. So in the morning when you wake up, you can hold it down again and stop it.
And what does it tell you about your sleep?
So, for example, when I was using this, let me log on to my phone one more time. I noticed that my sleep was very, very accurate. See, I'm a very light sleeper. So you'll notice down here, don't pay attention to the weight so much.
Why? You're tiny.
It said I was asleep for 7 hours and I woke up 9 times. I'm an extremely light sleeper, so
but
I didn't notice
any movement is considered waking up.
Any movement at all. Right. So some of those times I didn't actually get out of bed to go to the restroom.
Rolling
I don't
over.
Pee 9 times at night. You know, that's a lot.
But it shows you when you went to bed. It shows you when you got up, how much total sleep. By the way, you were in bed 7.5 hours, but you moved around enough so that you only got 7 hours of sleep. That's you know what people can do is keep track of, did I have coffee today? How late did I have coffee?
I can
did
do
I have
that
a big
too.
Meal before I went to bed? That's also in the app?
Yeah, so if I go into more settings and then I go to food and I can change this every day, I can update.
You have Cap'n Crunch
all
for
the
breakfast?
Oh, heck yes, I do. Actually, I eat Oops All Berries because that's delicious, but I couldn't find Oops All Berries in the Fitbit app and I didn't feel like updating
Cap'n
it
Crunch
with the calories.
Cap'n Crunch is close enough.
Cap'n Crunch is close enough.
Okay.
And then sweet tea, which I have every single morning as well. And it'll keep track of everything. And luckily, most things you can find in the Fitbit app already. So,
fruit
for
cup
example,
and white toast for lunch. That's not a good lunch, young lady.
Well, I'm on a diet, so I just had a fruit cup. Give me a break. I had sweet tea in the morning.
No, I'm not complaining. You're fine. You're doing great. I'm not saying a word. You're
so the app is really, really useful for keeping track. I figured out that when I'm using this, I actually am a lot more aware of what I'm doing every day, of what I'm eating. So it really helps you get into a mode of keeping track of your diet and your calories and your exercise, steps taken and such.
That's my experience with all of these devices.
Yeah.
It's not so much how accurate they are or the motivation.
It just gets you in that mode.
You're just paying attention. It brings it to your awareness. And then you do take a few extra steps.
Yes.
You do walk the stairs instead of taking the elevator. Now, some of the Fitbits, the Fitbit Ultra measure altitude. Does this also measure stairs?
It does, yeah. It'll measure all the steps climbed, and it measures them by, what's it called?
Altitude.
Yes.
Height.
By height, yes.
So you've done 12 stairs.
It measures them by floor.
Floor,
yeah,
okay.
So not necessarily 12
so
stairs. 12
floors you
yeah,
climbed.
So
wow,
I climbed
that's
12
nice.
Floors today. Because I live in an apartment, so.
That's how much distance you've traveled. This is the number of calories.
Mm-hmm.
You've burned, and then your
it
little
flower
grows.
It also has this little flower. So my flower is very short this week during this day, but you'll notice whenever you're, you know, for example, at CES, it'll grow to its maximum height. This is a little LED monitor, and it can
it's
click
nice
on
to have
anytime.
This. Yeah, and I see you get the time as well, so it can even be a little watch.
You can also set an alarm at night. So if you have the app, you just go in there, you set an alarm for whatever time you want to wake up.
Got up at 11 this morning.
Yeah. Well, that was for Friday.
Good girl.
That's for Friday. I'm kind of lazy.
Awesome.
I woke up
this is
after
great.
CES, and I was like, I'm sleeping 12 hours.
So this is a Fitbit One. This is the latest Fitbit, and how much is it?
It's $99.95, so a little less than $100.
You mentioned some other items. This is a charging device that plugs into a USB
port. Yeah, and it'll
port.
Last about 5 to 7 days.
Yeah.
I've been running this for about 9 days, and it's still not out
it
of battery.
It goes a long time
so,
on a single charge.
It's not had any problems.
And what is this
this
do?
Is a little syncer device that you plug into your computer.
So you leave this
Mac
plug into the computer, and then when you get to the vicinity of that, it will
automatically sync it wirelessly. Yep, wirelessly to your computer. It knows that it's your computer because you have this little USB
plug. That's what tells you. Okay. Will it sync with the iPhone as well, or is that?
Yes, that's Bluetooth smart
Bluetooth
capability.
Or USB.
And then it comes with two different colors for these guys, black or the nice, pretty plum color.
Yeah.
And then you can do the vibrating alarm so it doesn't wake up your partner whenever you're asleep.
Neat. I do
useful.
Like that. And it wakes you
and
up. When you're kind of awake anyway, it watches to make sure you're not dead asleep.
Yes.
And doesn't, so it's a rough wake up time.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And then it vibrates and kind of
Yeah, so it's a very gentle wake up, yeah, which I appreciate. It's not going to wake up, you know, my fiance or what have you, or my cats. The thing I didn't like about this is that it kind of attaches to anything. If you have it in your luggage, for example, when I got home, I lost it in my dirty pile of clothes.
Because it's Velcro.
Yeah, and I couldn't find it for a little while, so I didn't wear it my last night when I got to bed. And it's also very thick, and it's kind of tight if you put it on too tightly, so it was a little bit bothersome for me when I was asleep.
Yeah.
I would prefer something a little bit looser that could still track when I was getting up.
The original Fitbit was bracelet was a little bit simpler than this and a little bit looser than this.
Now, the nice thing about Fitbit, though, is that they're also coming out with the Flex. The Flex is a new wristband that does have the same capabilities as this one, but it comes in basically like it looks like a Nike Fuel band, for example. And it looks a lot more fashionable than wearing one of these to bed every night.
So let's get the pros and cons of the new Fitbit One.
So the pros, of course, the battery, since it lasts 5 to 7 days, and mine's lasted much more longer than that. The accuracy was great for me, and the iOS app, of course. I love the iOS app, and I also heard at CES that they're coming out with an Android app, too. So good news, Androids.
Good.
And then the cons, the sleep band, I didn't really like this guy, kind of flimsy and annoying. And I had an issue with the syncing when I went to CES. I don't know if it was because I was around so many people, or maybe there was way too much Bluetooth activity going on, but it couldn't sync all day when I was in the conference center. Hmm. So I had to wait until I got back to the hotel room.
Hmm.
But overall, I definitely give this a buy. I love the thing. I can't wait to wear it home and keep on keeping track of my diet and my exercise.
Had you worn any other pedometer devices?
No, this is my first one.
Yeah,
it looked a little complicated when I first got it, but once I downloaded the app, I was like, oh, this is easy.
I think the Jawbone app, the Nike Fuel Band, the Fitbit, these are all kind of the same genre, and I think they all do the same thing. And they pretty much do. They raise your awareness of what you're doing, and that's the most valuable thing of all.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So it's well worth the money and definitely a buy.
Good. That's great. Can I show you my toy?
I would love to see it.
You
know what?
What?
Let me change this input for you.
Yeah, you better, because we're not watching. We're watching
No More Before You Buy.
Yeah, so let's. Now, by the way, notice one thing. Shannon is using the. You aren't using, but you could be using the Vizio CoStar remote because it's a universal remote. We're talking about the Vizio CoStar. Vizio, which has been a PC manufacturer for some time, decided to join Logitech and Sony in making a Google TV device.
Yes.
And there was a lot of interest when they announced the CoStar. This one is of particular interest because it's only $100. It's compact. It's the most compact device for Google TV out there. It is running the new Google TV 3.4. You see it has HDMI in, HDMI out, USB, Ethernet, Wi-Fi is also built in, and power, in a small hockey puck-like design. It's not as cool-looking as the Apple TV, but it's unobtrusive, and I think that's probably more important than either.
Doesn't take up a lot of space when you set it down. Yeah.
Now, Google TV is a little different than Roku and Apple TV. Roku and Apple TV take up an HDMI port. Google TV, on all the devices so far, is a pass-through device. That's why it's got two HDMI ports. We're going to take the cable box or the satellite box into the CoStar and then take the CoStar output and send it to the TV. And what happens is we continue to watch television in a normal way, but this is an overlay on top of it.
Oh,
it's the main reason I like Google TV.
Hence a pass-through.
Yeah, it's a pass-through. It doesn't take up another HDMI port on your TV set.
That's cool.
And a lot of the functionality is still available while you're watching a regular TV. So we are watching a TV here. I'll press the Vizio button on this, and the Vizio apps you see just slide in on the TV. Notice we're still watching whatever the hell this is. And but you see my little mouse? There's a mouse pointer on here. It's got a very, I think, well-done trackpad on the front of the remote control. The trackpad itself can do scrolling. So if I go over to my apps drawer, I can just run my finger along the right-hand side of the trackpad, and I can scroll up and down. It even has a mouse button on the trackpad. So to set up settings, I just tap, and then it will launch the settings application. I think that's kind of cool. Again, we continue to watch the show. The audio's still there. It, of course, has the typical internet television connectivity. Netflix is a guaranteed. You got to have Netflix. So Netflix is launching here. It also has Amazon TV. Also something called MGo, which I kind of like. It allows you to watch media from other devices. DLNA capability is built in if you've got the appropriate app on here. We'll play MP4, MKV, and a variety of other formats. So this could be kind of a great solution for your home theater system if you've got a lot of local content or content you're playing off via DLNA off of a device. Picture-in-picture is available. I can go back to live TV by just pressing this live TV dedicated button. And part of the setup that we started with, which was... Thank you for not showing any more of that. What is this? The Bella Twins, pro wrestlers, Bri and Nikki. There we go. We'll hide this remote. That's the television remote because you don't need it anymore. This is a universal remote. And as part of the setup with the CoStar, we were able to pick the dish. We actually were using DirecTV, so we were able to pick the satellite box and the Toshiba television that we're using. It recognized both, and I can control volume, channel. All the menu controls are available on this device.
And this is the
touchpad
right here? This is the touchpad,
yeah, talking about. Yeah, it does a good job. Now get ready, because here's a little bit of a surprise. There's also a full QWERTY keyboard on the back. And we saw this with Sony. The Sony remote control also has a built-in keyboard in a somewhat less thick package. You see, it's kind of an ungainly package.
It looks like you can play games on it, too.
Yeah, you see a directional control pad, an X, Y, A, B, look, this is a Google TV kind of feature. The Logitech version actually had a full-size keyboard with all this functionality and the mouse trackpad. It's nice to have something a little bit smaller. And because it's a universal remote, in most cases, you'll be able to toss away your remote control and just use this. And it's a pretty capable universal remote. A few things, you're missing from this device. You can't skip 30 seconds through commercials, things like that. Google Search is on here, which is kind of cool because the idea is you can search across all the different platforms that you have on here to find a show.
Oh, that's
kind of
nice.
Like Tom was showing on the Wii U. I mean, if you like that feature of Wii U, this is much better implemented. I'm a big fan of Google TV. I know I'm one of the few. And as far as Google TV goes, this is a very capable device. Only $99. That's half the price of the Sony device. That's going to save you some money. It's not, the strongest build in the world. And some have complained that the remote control is a little bit thick. But I think all in all, if it's Google TV you're looking for, this is a great device. And, of course, because you can add apps, you can do more things on this than, are just built into the device itself. We've got, for instance, Google Chrome installed in here. So you've got a full browser. The Play Store is here. When you go to the Play Store, though, you should know that you can only install Google TV-compatible applications.
Yes.
And there's been kind of a dearth of those. There's a big fireplace app, but there's a lot of stuff missing on here. When I first set it up, I logged into my Google account. Mm-hmm. So this is now a device on my Google account. If you've ever used Android, you'll recognize this is the Play Store, and it's coming up right on my TV. You notice Pandora was there, so you can add things like Pandora, Flixster, and so forth, HBO Go. So I have to say, I like Google TV, and as a Google TV devices go, this is a significant improvement over the first generation of Google TV devices.
Definitely.
On the pro side, $99 is a great deal. It is a pass-through, which means you can continue to watch TV. We'll go back to live TV here, and you'll see it just jumps right back to live TV while you're doing the functionality of the Google television. All Google TV devices have that. And I think it's cool that it's got a full-size keyboard on here. It makes it very easy to enter passwords, logins, and things like that. And because it's Google, you might have to do that from time to time.
Yep. Yay, two-factor authentication.
I did use my two-factor on it, and it worked just fine. The App Store is limited. That's a con. But at least it has an App Store, which means you can add functionality in a very intuitive way, just as you would on your Android device. I would say, if you're looking at a Google TV device, this is a definite buy. It competes, I think, fairly favorably with the Roku and other devices. Although most people, I seem to be the only one who really likes Google TV. Most people who use Google TV say, no, I'd rather use my Apple TV or my...
I like it too. It's a nice competitor to that home theater PC.
I particularly like the pass-through capability because it means I can do all this internet functionality. I can even browse and tweet without turning off my TV and switching to another input. And I think that that's a great feature. This would be a good addition to any home theater system. And the remote, the universal remote means... fewer remotes on my coffee table, that's always a big plus.
So one less to lose.
One less to lose. So those are the pros and cons. Would I buy it? Absolutely. I'm going to give it a definite buy. In fact, this might be the first time on Before You Buy that we had all buy recommendations.
Except for Mr.
Except
Tom.
Except for the Wii U. Damn you, Tom Merritt.
Oh, that Nintendo's so close.
Thank you, Shannon Morse, our producer. Don't forget, you can see Shannon on YouTube anytime you want. If you want to watch Threatwire, that is on youtube.com/techfeed.
Yes.
And, of course, here on our channel and soon in many more shows if I get my way. We also thank our other reviewers, Tony Wang, our editor-in-chief, Tom Merritt, the host of TNT on the Twit Network every morning, your daily dose of tech news at 10 in the morning. Also Greg Burnett, college student.
Yeah, first review for him.
Is he an intern or do we actually pay that
guy?
He
is an intern.
Okay.
You guys don't pay him?
Give him a couple of bucks. For lunch, you
free lunches.
Yeah. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you all for watching. Remember, you can always see all of our reviews. In fact, you can see each product review individually. YouTube.com/... What's our new YouTube channel? Do you know?
What is it, guys? BYB?
We're checking.
Before you buy.
If you go to youtube.com/twit, you'll find a link to it. And that is a little notice for everybody. We've moved our content, each show, onto its own channel on YouTube. So youtube.com/twit will continue to have Twit specials, promos, fun stuff. And then if you look on the left-hand side, or I guess it's the right-hand side of your YouTube screen, you'll see a directory of all the other shows. So you can subscribe to each show individually, including ours.
Subscribe to Before You
Buy. Yeah, please subscribe to it. YouTube.com/BeforeYouBuy. You can email us, byb@twit.tv. We got one show in there, last week's show. twit.tv/BYB. We'll have more shows in there soon. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Leo.
Thanks for watching. Remember, we'll see you next week. Remember, you got to watch Before You Buy. Take care, everybody.